Live on Tape, Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between. With award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. Here are your hosts, Tom and Charles.
Welcome to Work in Progress. My name is Tom Alexander. And of course, as always, I am joined by my good friend and podcast partner. It is Charles Epstein. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Tom. Today, we're going to be taking a virtual trip to the Netherlands. And we're going to be speaking with Marco Rodriguez Tapia, who leads PepsiCo's Europe's Transformation and Lean projects. Today, we're going to be speaking about how he led a successful migration of PepsiCo's LSS training program to an online environment post-COVID based on, of all things, Minecraft, the game, Minecraft. The online game. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
It really is. You know. Usually when companies gamify some business-related process about adapting these processes, some kind of, you know, it's a fair, you see one, you kind of see them all. They adapt the processes to some kind of competitive framework. You rack up points and see how you stack up on a leaderboard. You know, so it's the idea is that it's supposed to add an element of fun to an otherwise tedious process. But you know, you find yourself wondering what exactly these developers do for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because more than not, they're kind of silly, superficial, and not a lot of fun.
Right.
In other words, Tom, exactly like our podcast, if our podcast was superficial, uninvolving, and no fun, as opposed to the very opposite.
Right. Which of course, tons of fun.
That's all the reviews. Tons of fun.
Right. Even if we say so ourselves. And
so in other words, not exactly like our podcast.
Right. Well, this will be fun because, I find it absolutely fascinating. Minecraft, of course, I'm not even a gamer, but I certainly know Minecraft and it's been around for a few years, I think you can say. Very, very interesting idea, concept, and now realized with Marco Rodriguez Tapia. We're looking forward to speaking with Marco from PepsiCo in the Netherlands, and we'll do that when we come back from this break. This is Work in Progress. Back in just a moment.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salary budget survey to learn more.
Currently based in the Netherlands, Marco Rodriguez Tapia leads PepsiCo Europe's transformation and lean projects. He previously led the deployment of process improvement programs across several multinational corporations in diverse sectors, including oil and gas, banking, telecommunications, and manufacturing, driving multi-million dollar productivity gains. Today, we're going to speak with him about how he led a successful migration of PepsiCo's LSS training program to an online environment post-COVID-19, based on, of all things, Minecraft, a gaming platform. So this should be interesting. Marco, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Please say hello to my podcast partner, Charles Epstein.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, Marco, good speaking with you. People can't see you in your office in the Netherlands. We can, and that looks like a very impressive gaming chair you're sitting in.
Indeed, Charles. Well, if you are going to spend hours and hours in front of the computer, what better than a gaming chair that is specifically made for you to be seated for a lot of time and without getting tired? So when COVID started, I said, I need to spend some good money on a good chair. Here we have.
What is good money? What does that chair go for?
Around $300.
Oh, okay. And it's comfy. It looks comfy.
It is very comfy. It allows you to work for maybe 8-10 hours without having any troubles with your back and with your legs. So it's quite comfy.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you the brand because people will think that other objective going on here. And that's, of course, far from the case. Any case, thanks for answering that pressing question, Marco. I appreciate that. Anyway, we played you on with the Mandalorian theme, which you requested. We asked all our guests what piece of music they'd like to be played on. Some have something up their sleeve. Many leave the decision to us. And of course, live to regret it. No, not really. We're very proud of the Work in Progress playlist, which we update on Spotify, FYI. But Marco, why the Mandalorian theme? It does sound kind of ominous.
Well, it was between the Mandalorian team and This is the End of the War as We Know It. But between the two songs, I picked the Mandalorian. And the reason behind that selection is because the Mandalorian is a show about a community of in this case, mercenaries, which usually every time you ask, why do you do these things? They answer, because this is the way. And as we will talk today about the new ways of working with COVID, well, I believe this is the way. And if you don't jump on the ship, you will be in troubles, because this new way of working is here to stay. So every time you listen to that song, you need to remember, this is the way and it's here to stay.
Okay, well, a much cheerier message than the R.E.M. song. So on behalf of our listeners, thank you very much, Marco. Anyway, first, for those in our audience unfamiliar with the term, what are lean projects?
Lean methodology or lean projects are projects that are looking to reduce waste, meaning to reduce inefficiencies in processes. Several kind of waste can be physical waste, can be time waste, reworking, overproduction. So lean projects are essentially looking for productivity, looking to reduce the waste in a company, either by physical waste, money, time, etc.
I see. And I saw on your LinkedIn page you were a Six Sigma black belt. So I assume that implies a particular methodology vis-a-vis lean projects.
Correct. It's you have different levels in the methodology, from white belt to master black belt. My role as master black belt means that I can teach other people about the lean methodology, and I can coach people how they can execute projects properly. So it's like the karate, right? So it follows the same hierarchy from the white belt to the master black belt.
Ah, I see. All right, interesting. Marco, if you would describe PepsiCo's standard training process pre-COVID, what were the main challenges you were looking to address before we get into the whole Minecraft?
Of course. Well, I think in PepsiCo, like any other company, when we start facing the COVID environment, we thought that this was something temporarily. In fact, we have some emails that we crossed with some other colleagues and said, well, this will pass after 3 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, and it will be over. And then it didn't happen. So in PepsiCo, for the lean training, we have a whole infrastructure, a whole curricula that you need to follow. In some cases, for the employees, it's mandatory to go from the white belt training even to the black belt training. So these trainings are in person, or used to be in person, a full week, because the methodology teaches you a lot of tools. And usually these trainings taking place in some specific geography, for example, in Greece. And we brought a lot of people from different European countries to Greece to spend 1 week to be trained in certain level of Lean Six Sigma methodology, let's say Greenbelt. And they spend, all these people spend 1 week in Greece, we train them, we explain to them the methodology, and after that week they return to their own countries. We usually pick a place that was centrally located for most of the candidates. When COVID arrived, obviously this was absolutely a no-no, and we have to see what we could do. At the beginning, in March, we decided to suspend, actually, to stop the training, hoping that the situation will improve. The reality is, obviously, by June, we found out that this was not going to be temporary, that this is going to be a permanent change on the way we train. So we decided to identify how we can migrate all the trainings that we deliver in person to a digital e-learning way. At the beginning, like I guess also as other companies, we tried to do exactly what we did in person, but through Zoom, meaning we put a PowerPoint and there you have it. The 8-hour training, we just put it in Zoom and we asked the people to deliver the same results. The consequences of that were quite bad because people start complaining, obviously, 8 hours in Zoom, the feedback was terrible, was sure. Ruthless. This is impossible. Please cancel this kind of training. The satisfaction, we run a satisfaction survey every training, dropped 50%.
Oh, wow.
And at the end of the training, we have exam, a final exam that they need to pass, 30 questions, multiple choice. We have a system, an online system. Usually, the failure rate was around between 5 to 10%. That failure rate jumped to more than 60%, meaning more than half of the people failed the exam, showing that either they stop following the training, they stopped the engagement, and they did not, or even worse, they did not understand properly the material.
Okay, so obviously something had to be done.
And that's when they ask, what do we do about it? And that was how the idea came up.
Marco, before we get into how you adapted Minecraft, tell our audience, who I presume is not made up of a large number of gamers, what exactly Minecraft is and what's the central concept?
Well, Tom, Minecraft, it's a sandbox open game. Meaning is a game where you have materials, construction materials, where you can build from houses, cities, living. You can also build living things with blocks, basically with a square blocks, and it is focalized for promote creativity among children. It's a game that the target is around 6-7 years old, and however, there are people who are still playing after 20 years, but it is a game that it looks to promote the creativity of the children, creating their own worlds, creating their own infrastructure without a specific storyline. So it's not that on a console, like a PlayStation, like a Xbox, when you put the disc and you have a specific storyline that you need to follow. In Minecraft, it is open-ended, and therefore you can build whatever you want.
I believe you said it was your son's idea, who, if memory serves, was 12 at the time, Marco?
So actually he was 10 at the time. The idea came because, and actually he had the idea to migrate this simulation in 2019, meaning a year before COVID. And the reason behind that is because my son lives in Minnesota, in the US. I live in the Netherlands, so we are physically separated. And most of my interaction with him is digital. We use Discord, which is basically Zoom for gamers. And during these interactions, this dialogue that I have as a father and son, he asked me, what do I do for a living? Which is a very valid question. So my role as master blackbelt of Lean Six Sigma in reality is to improve processes and gain productivity and reduction of waste through the use of statistical tools.
Excuse me, Marco. How many times did it take for you to describe what it is you do to your 10-year-old son?
So exactly. Exactly. So when I told him that, he said, like, what is that? I have no idea what you're talking about. So and because of my job, I travel a lot. I travel all around Europe and sometimes even in Asia and Africa. He was like, this is a kind of weird job you have because you're traveling all over the world. So can you please explain to me? So when I tried to explain, and part of my job is also training. So I said, look, part of my job is to teach. What I teach is, and I explain to him with these Lego pieces, how I put a artificial process with Lego pieces, and they need to produce pallets, and I show them the pallet made by Legos, because we can do that on video. I show them the pallet on with Legos, made of Legos, and you need to ship this to your customer who is asking these specific recipes with these colors and this size of pieces of Lego. And what I teach them is how to improve the process through this game. So when he saw that, he said, like, but you could do exactly the same with Minecraft. And I said, yes, you're right. I could do exactly the same with Minecraft. But then, son, I need to develop, and right now I travel around the world, everything is awesome, and people want to interact in person, and nobody will really pay for that. That was in 2019. Mm-hmm. Then in 2020, when COVID came, and said, we need to adapt our simulation to be delivered online. And that, when I said, my son had this idea. However, in this case, Charles, I had to present something to PepsiCo, because I could not present and said, hey, give me money to develop a game in Minecraft, because obviously that would not have worked. So I asked my son to help me building a prototype in Minecraft, because he's quite skillful on that. So if I asked him if he was able to help, he said yes. Well, actually, he charged me $100 for that. It was not for free, but anyway.
You got off cheaply, Marco.
Yeah, I got it cheap. Actually, later he said that you should have paid me more because of all this success of the simulation. And he built the prototype. I needed to explain to him with more detail how a warehouse works, how it looks, because he had to recreate the warehouse in Minecraft. And once we built this prototype, I presented to PepsiCo, to the Global LSS committee, and that's how they decided to fund me to hire a company, Blockworks, to really build the simulation properly. But that's how we developed, with his help, because actually he took a couple of days to build it. If I would have had to do it by myself, it would have taken 3 months, because I'm not very good at Minecraft, of course, and he's very good. So it was for him was three strokes on the keyboard, and he was already building multiple warehouses.
That's amazing.
That's great. Our guest is Marco Rodriguez Tapia, leader of PepsiCo Europe's transformation and lean projects. Marco, I assume it was rolled out to a segment of the workforce to beta the program. Who were the initial participants, and what was their feedback?
So once we finished the first pilot for the game, for the simulation, we tested with a division of PepsiCo that is called Concentrate, that is based in Ireland. So we pick a team of 10 people from Ireland, who online they played the simulation, and we started receiving feedback in terms of how to make it more user friendly. Because something that Tom, I cannot deny is that there were some concerns from the participants in terms of the learning curve. So for this first prototype, we worked with the Irish team. And we specifically asked people who had no experience with gaming and who had never played Minecraft. And those are the people who played first, and they gave us a very valuable feedback in order to make the game much more user-friendly and to make the learning curve for people who have never played Minecraft much less steeper, so they were able to enjoy more the simulation and participate more. So, and let me tell you, Tom, let me add that this is something that is not only for students, even for trainers, because we have done the train the trainers already for the black belts who teach this class using Minecraft. And I have some of the trainers who tell me, okay, Marco, I agree to learn Minecraft, but first you need to tell me, where do I buy a joystick? And I said, joystick? What are you talking about, the joystick? And she was referring to this little instrument that has a stick on a box, because her last time he played a video game was during the 80s with Atari. So to me, that was a question that showed that we really had to work to make the learning curve very user friendly, super fast. And let me tell you that this specific trainer is now teaching. She's now teaching using Minecraft. I mean, she now teaches, she plays, and remember, the last time she played was with a joystick and an Atari during the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, I know you have obviously a multinational, multilingual workforce, does PepsiCo. How did you address that?
We translate the game to 7 languages. All the materials are translated to local languages. And when we do the train the trainers, Charles, we do it in the meaning we do the training in the local language. So, for example, this October we're delivering the training in French. I am delivering a training in French with another facilitator, and all the materials are in French language. So we try to obviously make, as I said, the learning curve as smooth as possible for the participants, so they don't have, for example, to deal with translation issues.
Mm. Okay.
How many languages do you speak, by the way?
I speak 4. Spanish, English, Portuguese, and French.
Mm. Wow. That's impressive.
Yes.
Marco, how did it improve engagement and learning outcomes, and how did it, or how theoretically can it, provide insights into job performance?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, Charles, because one of the benefits of the simulation is that it requires the active participation of all team members. The game is designed so the performance of the whole process is usually linked to the weakest member of the team, meaning if one team member is not doing a proper job, the whole team will be penalized. And this is evident from the start, because it's a teamwork, it's a group work. So the peer pressure to engage, to keep it the whole week working together to improve the process is permanent. And obviously that makes the people to avoid absences, if they want to go to another meeting or turn off the camera, the other rest of the team say, look, hey, you cannot leave because you are going to affect our performance. And also shows that you can create an online team with strangers, because obviously right now the training means that a lot of people who have never met personally, they need to start working together. And if you are not digitally savvy to manage teams online, you may have troubles. So we have seen, as I mentioned before, the assimilation of the materials has improved. But also the feedback in general has been very, very positive. But also we have seen that the simulation is a structure to promote teamwork, because I have seen teams who on the third round, because the game is divided in 3 different rounds. The first round is a disaster because the process is not efficient and is made like that in purpose. So there is a very chaotic process. The second and third round, they need to use Lean Six Sigma tools to improve the process. But it also has a human element. You may pick the best solutions, but if your implementation is not good, you will see that on the final results of the game, which the game gives you financial operational and customer service KPIs so you can measure your success. So if you do not create a good team, a digital team, your performance is going to be affected. I remember a team which, when they were playing the final round, it really, really sounded like listening to a military exercise because they were so coordinated, so extremely efficient. So you only see like bottom one, move, middle sending, move. It was amazing because they were like a ballet when you were seeing a ballet, totally coordinated. So you can see also a good performance, not only on LSS, but in general as creating digital teams.
Oh, that's really interesting, Marco.
Yeah, that is. What lessons did you learn regarding good game design as it specifically relates to gamified training and learning going forward? And what other business functions do you think it can be productively applied to across the organization?
We believe, based on the lessons we got from the Minecraft simulation, that a good game design requires an open-ended structure, meaning if you, it's like a movie, if you already know the ending or there's only one single solution for the game, is not a good game. We need to remember at the end, there's a study in Deloitte that says that millennials will be 75% of the global workforce by 2025. That those are people who play games which are very complex, games that require millions of dollars for development, games that are develop like movies, and which the best games require a multi-dimensional, multiple solution possibility in order to solve the game. So the best game design is a game that is open-ended, meaning you can pick many potential solutions. That is also a balance between technical solutions versus teamwork, because it requires some kind of incentive to work as a teams, and obviously that you receive a value added, you have a lesson that you will be able to use at work. And coming to your question, Tom, this can apply not only to LSS but to any other part of the organization. It can be applied to sales. We are looking, for example, in this case, to expand the Minecraft simulation for food safety in PepsiCo, for safety in the workplace. We are the second part of the simulation that we're doing. We are recreating a factory, a PepsiCo factory, block by block in Minecraft, so we can teach food safety, security. So a good design is something that gives you added value, gives you an incentive to engage, and is obviously something that requires you to think. It's not something fixed that you can basically understand the solutions very quick.
You know, it's really interesting, Marco, your approach, particularly this whole idea of an open-ended game, because in my experience and my observations vis-a-vis the gamification of well-being and all the gamification that's been going on for the last 5+ years, because obviously it's been a large focus of a lot of companies who are developing these apps and so on and so forth. And the issue in my mind, and again, what I've seen is that any game, you know, at a certain point, the novelty wears off and people drop off. They're no longer interested. So you invest all this money in a game and it has a very limited shelf life. But obviously, in the way you've designed it in this open-ended way and the collaborative component and so on and so forth, I think gets around that central problem. So, you know, I think you're really, really onto something. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles. And as I said, I think we need to look to the future, because from my experience, from what I've seen, what other kind of gamification companies have done, is more like a two-dimensional, one single solution a structure. And obviously that is not appealing to the current population. But now that the technology is there, this open-ended sandbox, as it's called on the gaming community, sandbox game are possible, and actually it makes much easier to develop a product that is can pique the interest of the millennial population, which companies would like to attract and retain very soon.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of the future, I need to ask you a question. I know all of our listeners have been waiting for us to ask. What is your son working on now, Marco?
Actually, we are looking to find an internship on some gaming company. So any company who is interested, please contact me, because he's looking to continue to on the gaming sector.
That's what he wants to do.
That's where the future is, Charles.
Sure,
that's where the
future for sure. Is. For sure. Well, you know, I think he has quite a future.
Yes, he does.
Marco, we really do appreciate your time today for coming on Work in Progress. This was a lot of fun. We really appreciate it. Obrigado.
De nada, imagina. Thank you, Tom. I just want to mention one last thing, if I may. PepsiCo really believes that this is the future, and this is the way, as I mentioned. In fact, the simulation is becoming free to any company to download in the blogworks.uk website, because PepsiCo, as I said, believes that this is the way of the future, this is the way people should be trained. So now any company can download the game for free and adapt it to their needs.
Oh, wow, that's terrific.
Wow, excellent. Our guest today was Marco Rodriguez Tapia, who leads PepsiCo Europe's transformation and lean projects. Marco spoke to us today from Amsterdam. This is Work in Progress. Back in just a moment.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salarybudgetsurvey to learn more.
Wrapping things up now on Work in Progress, along with Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. And Charles, you know, it's interesting that Marco came to us today from Amsterdam.
Well, he did, and given that he came from Amsterdam, it was a remarkably cogent conversation. So thank you for that, Marco.
Yes, absolutely. And I wonder sometimes what the air quality index is, and it's probably... Yeah, just great, man. That's yes. The rating for the yes. Day.
Air quality, relaxed.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. So, but that was a lot of fun talking to him.
Yeah, really, and amazing. His son, I believe he said he was 10 at the time, had the idea to adapt their online learning to Minecraft after repeatedly asking his dad, "What exactly, Dad, do you do for a living?" "Well, son, I'm a Six Sigma lean developer." "Oh, really, Dad? You know, try, you know, most adults can't suss that one out," but obviously his son figured that out and adapted Minecraft to the LSS learning that they have. And now they're rolling it out globally and making it available for other companies. So I tell you, sharp kid, I think that kid has some future, Tom.
A little bit of a future, I think. I think it's fair to say. That is
true. Yeah. Yeah, if you were a stock, I'd be advising my broker, go long.
Yeah.
let's get some asset reallocation going on here. I like this kid.
Yeah, a lot of promise. A lot of promise.
Yeah, also, oh, indeed. You know, at the outset, I mentioned that most of these gamified wellness platforms and learning platforms and so on and so forth. You know, the problem, as I mentioned to Marco in the conversation, most of the problem with gamification is like with any game, you know, the novelty at some point wanes and you've invested all this money and then you can't really get people re-engaged. It has a certain shelf life and that's it. So and we asked him about what he learned from game design, as it, of course, relates to applying it to learning and other business processes, which apparently they're looking into doing. And what they did is they made it open-ended, you know, so there's no end result that you're looking toward. It's just, you know, continued collaboration and all this. So I think they get around some of the inherent limitations of some of these gamified or gamification efforts that a lot of companies are embarked on. So really quite interesting. And I tell you, I think, Tom, the next time we're going to have Marco's son on.
We just may have to see how this thing evolves, you know, because it just sounds like there's going to be a lot coming around the corner or down the pipe, as they say. Anyway, or pike. Is it pipe or pike? I've heard both. Anyway, on that note.
Well, I guess it's Amsterdam, the Netherlands. So, yeah, I think pike.
I think pipe for sure. Well, thank you, Marco. We really do appreciate your time for joining us today. And for Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander, thanking you for listening. And we'll see you next time right here on Work in Progress. So long, everybody.
This has been Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between, with award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. For more, visit worldatwork.org/workinprogress. That's worldatwork.org/workinprogress. Join us next week for another edition of Work in Progress.